I trust that song is the prayer of your heart this morning. As we head into 2013, we want to remain centered on loving God, remain centered on loving others, and remain centered on reaching out. If you're like me, it's easy to get distracted, and at sometimes the Christian life becomes very complicated. And sometimes I just need to come back to the very basics, and that's to love God with all of my heart, soul, and mind, making sure that as I love God, one of the ways that I express my love to God is to love those He's placed around me and to reach out. The past 2 weeks, we focused on loving God and loving others. And this morning, if you haven't noticed, the theme of the service is reaching out. That ultimately flows out of our love for God. As we think about reaching out, I want you to understand that this is a core value that's not new for Community Bible Church. Community Bible Church is 60 years old, and from the very beginning, its focus was on reaching out. In fact, I have a picture here. This is 1952, so it would have been the first or second vacation Bible school of Community Bible Church. And I know you cannot see faces from where you're at, but if you were able to take a close-up picture, you would be able to see Marlon Miller on the back row. You'd be able to see Johnny Heaston on the back row, and you'd be able to see some other familiar faces. But I didn't put it up there because of those individuals. I put it up there to demonstrate, look at the outreach Community Bible Church was having into the community. The church was small at that time. The majority of these children are children from Marietta and the surrounding area. And this morning, I want to introduce you to two individuals who were on the receiving end of reaching out at Community Bible Church back in those days. And I have with me Mary Nine and Sandy Boylan. Mary, I had the opportunity to meet for the first time in March. She was here at church, and she had just started coming, and she stopped back to the hospitality room. And so I greeted her, and she noticed Pastor John Heaston, the founding pastor of her church, Chris Heaston's great-grandfather, if you know Chris. And she started talking about how Pastor John and the church made a difference in her life 50, 60 years ago. So, Mary, can you share a little bit about those days and your experience?
Sure. I just want to tell you how important it is to reach out to your neighborhood, to the, especially the young children, the young people, because a lot of them have never had been taught about the Lord, and they don't know about the Bible, and they need to be brought to church. Well, Blanche Brubaker is the lady, the Sunday school teacher, that would stop every Sunday. My family didn't go to church. I didn't learn about the Lord at home. But when I was about 6 years old, Blanche would come. She'd stop every Sunday in my neighborhood, and she'd pick me up, and she'd pick some other children up on the west end of Fairview Avenue in Marietta, and she would take us to church. And she did that faithfully for years. I mean, it wasn't just for over the summer or just 1 or 2 weeks, but she did it for years. And as I got into the Sunday school and heard the stories about Jesus and heard all the beautiful songs, I loved singing and I loved the music, the simple choruses that we do. And we did a lot of memorization in those days. That was a big part of our Sunday school. And I remember those, I can still remember those verses after all these years. And you know, as you go through your life and you have a problem or you're scared or something happened, you think back and those verses come into your mind. And I often think if it wouldn't have been for Blanche, maybe I would have never come to the Lord, because I accepted the Lord when I was yet a small child. I don't know exactly how old, but it was in those Sunday school years. And, of course, Reverend Heaston and his wife and the kids and even Paul Heaston and Esther May Heaston, they were just, well, they would take me to their homes and I'd visit them and see how a Christian family lived, how, you know, the kind of activities they had. So it was really, really a blessing. So it's very important for these children. You know, I had that teenage rebellion and got away from church. and didn't come back for, it was over 20 years. But when I did, it was like I just, you know, I knew the Lord. I never forgot the Lord, and he didn't forget me. So that was good. I was in a church then up until last February. So then in February, I had a heart attack. And one Friday night, I had two of them. And here the next morning, I meet this wonderful man and his wife, Pastor Bill and Yvonne. They came to visit me in the hospital. And my daughter was already coming here, so she wanted me to come here. And but when I met them, they were so nice. And that's the story of how I got, as soon as I was able, the next month I was here, and I've been here ever since. And I just praise the Lord.
Isn't that awesome? Seeds that were planted in her life through Sunday school and through her involvement in individuals from this church reaching out to her, how they came to bear fruit 20 years later. And it's so encouraging. Sandy, share your story.
Well, I was 4 and a half when I came to know the Lord. But how I did it was the Christian businessman in Lancaster sent Reverend Ivan Martin and his wife Anna to Marietta to start Good News Bible Club. And it was right up the street from where we lived. My brother, being 9 years older than me, asked my mother and dad if he could take me to this club. And mother and dad said, well, they had to know more about the club. They didn't want me just going to a club and not knowing what it was about. So my brother said, well, Mr. and Mrs. Buckwalter from Marietta are helping in with this club. Well, my mother and dad knew that the Buckwalters were very good people in Marietta. They didn't know they were Christian, but they knew they were different than what they were. So I went, and I accepted the Lord at 4 and a half. And I can remember, can't tell you the date or the time of the year, but I remember kneeling down and asking Jesus to come into my heart. I went home and I told my mother and dad, I said, Jesus is going to come someday, and I'm going up with him, but you're not. I said, you're going down. Because I could never say the word hell, but I said, and my parents got real upset with me because they never heard anything like this. So I told the pastor, and they decided all these children from Marietta that were coming to Good News Club were getting saved. They were going home and telling their parents, and their parents were getting saved, but there was no church to go to. So Reverend Martin decided to start a church. And they had revival services. So they came and talked to my mother and dad and my grandfather, who was an invalid in bed. They told them the whole story of salvation. And they all accepted the Lord. And my grandfather got well enough that he could come to church, but they put a nice chair in the front where he could sit. And when we came in, Mrs. Martin said, and a little child should lead them. I came in, and my family came in back of me. Well, I think the church maybe lasted 2 years, and it broke up. And then we didn't know where to go. Well, we knew Pastor John because he was a banker, so we knew that he had a church. So we decided to come to Congregational Mennonite. That's when it was. And he always taught us to reach out to people, and we did. We got involved in the church, and my father, who had cancer at the time and had to go to Philadelphia to have an operation, well, the church reached out to us, and they gave us food, and they helped us through that time. And after my father got better, we started reaching out in the church, too. He drove the bus for Sunday school. We'd go around and get the children in Marietta and bring them. And my mother helped with the clothing bank and the food bank. And then I taught Sunday school. And children are really what you should reach out to, because if you get the children, then you can get the families in also. And I taught a lot of children. In fact, I taught Pastor Jim when he was 3. So it's really wonderful to reach out, and I hope this church always reaches out to the community, because that's what it's all about. Not only physical need, but their spiritual needs.
Thank you so much. Sandy, if we had more time, I'd love to hear what Pastor Jim was like as a 3-year-old. I can only imagine. Reaching out is what we're called to be, not because it's what we've always done, but because of the biblical mandate. Look with me at Acts chapter 1, verse 8. And the context here is Jesus has been crucified. He's been resurrected for 40 days. He's made various appearances to his disciples and his followers in Jerusalem. And he told them to wait here. The Holy Spirit will come upon them. And before he ascended into heaven, Luke recorded these words. But Jesus said to his followers, "You will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth." And he said this, he was taken up before their very eyes, and a cloud hid him from their sight. And Jesus said to his followers, "You will be my witnesses. You will be my incarnational presence on this earth, wherever you are, wherever you go." As we think about being the witness of Christ, being his incarnational presence, I thought it was interesting that Sandy shared that when her parents were unsure or whether or not they wanted to let her go to this club, when she said the Buckwalters, I don't know the Buckwalters, but obviously the Buckwalters who lived in Marietta were a witness to Christ living in and through them, were an incarnational presence, because she said, okay, if it's the Buckwalters are going to be there, I trust that you can go. Look at the presence that family had that's remembered 60 years later. And then when they were thinking about going to the church, they knew this banker who was a pastor who they respected and trust. The incarnational presence of Pastor John, being a witness for Christ in the community at that bank, is what God used to help make a spiritual difference in their lives. We are to be witnesses in our Jerusalem. Our Jerusalem here at Community Bible Church is not just in Marietta. For those of you who live in Marietta, that's your Jerusalem. But if you live in Maytown or Mount Joy or Reams or Bainbridge or Columbia or Wrightsville, or if you're in the Donegal School District or the Hemphill School District, that's your Jerusalem. That's where Christ living in and through you will allow you to be his witness. As we reach out at Community Bible Church, we need to understand that it's about reaching out in our Jerusalems locally. But at the same time, we need to understand that Christ's intention from the very beginning is that there would be a ripple effect, that his witness would spread not just from Jerusalem into Judea and Samaria, but to the ends of the earth. And God's heart is that all would know, all would have that opportunity to come to him through Christ, to hear the name of Jesus. And so Community Bible Church, as we think about reaching out, we need to understand that it's about locally and globally. As we think about reaching out globally, we support many from our missions family who live in various places, but we also want to provide opportunities for many of you to see and to be part of what God is doing around the globe. And I want to introduce to you this morning a team that's going to be heading to Peru. It's Marlon and Jean Groff with Kathy Wilcox and Jerry Horn. In just a few weeks, they're going to be spending time in the Amazon jungle. Take a look at this picture. This is what they can expect. Not that picture. It's what's going to cost. Picture of Marlon there in the boat. You ready for that, Kathy? Okay, good. Marlon and Jean, Kathy and Jerry, are going to be in boats like this on various rivers not because they need a vacation, not because it's too cold in Pennsylvania, but because God is calling them to be His witnesses to the ends of the earth. They're going to be part of a ministry called Frontier Partners. Frontier Partners is about helping us, CBC, the North American church, helping the South American church take the gospel into the unreached parts of the jungle. And so Marlon and Jerry are going to be there to encourage and to support the pastors, to help them financially be able to support themselves so that they can send people from their small congregations into the jungle. Kathy and Jean are going to be there to meet with the pastors' wives, to just love on them, pray with them, counsel them, read scripture together. And again, why are these individuals going to the Amazon jungle? Why do we at CBC put money and dollars to the unreached? It's because Acts 1:8. We are called to be His witnesses in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. Let me pray for these individuals as they prepare to leave in a few days. Dear Heavenly Father, we pray that Your presence would live in and through them. Lord, as Dave has said, Christ in us is the hope of glory. Lord, may You shine through them so that they can be an encouragement to the churches and to the pastors. May You fulfill Your purposes in their lives, and may You fulfill Your purposes in this trip for the glory of Your name, so that people in the Amazon jungle can be free from the bondages that they're in through the name of Jesus. And it's in His name we pray. Amen. We don't want to just focus on reaching out globally. We have a Jerusalem that's right here. And as a church, we continue to look for ways where we can reach out to our Jerusalem. And one of the ways that we're able to do that is through Good News Club. And we have a picture here. Some of you may not be familiar with Good News Club, but it's actually the same Good News Club after school that Sandy mentioned, 50, 60 years ago. And Community Bible Church, for the past 5 or so years, has sponsored a Good News Club across the road. What was Donegal Elementary, now it's Donegal Intermediate. And Cindy approached me this week and she said, Jeff, we need individuals to help out with Good News Club. So here's the need. There's going to be a spring session from February 26th to April 9th, after school from 3:45 to 5:15 for 7 weeks. And what we need is we need 2 individuals to be drivers. Because of the construction that they're doing over at the school, they're not able to have Good News Club at the school. So those 50 to 70 children are going to be coming here at Community Bible Church. So we need people who will help volunteer to transport them. And because in years past, we usually have 50 to 70 children, we need 4 more helpers or workers. So if you're saying, you know what, I want to reach out. I want to be used by God to make a difference in people's lives. I want to be like the lady that Mary referenced that said, you know what, I'm not sure where I would be or if I would know the Lord if it wasn't for Blanche Brubaker's impact in my life. You have the opportunities through Good News Club to connect with children. And the most significant number is not on that PowerPoint, but traditionally, half of the students who come to Good News Club are not from church families. So that is where the real opportunity for us is as a church to reach out. So here at Community Bible Church, we reach out locally and we reach out globally. Matthew chapter 9, verse 35 is a verse that captures and describes the ministry of Jesus. It says, Jesus went through all the towns and villages, teaching in their synagogues, preaching the good news of the kingdom, and healing every disease and sickness. We want to reflect the ministry of Jesus here at CBC. And Jesus was concerned with people's physical needs. He was concerned with healing their diseases, healing the lame, healing those who were blind, those who were lame. He also did not just focus on their physical needs. He also was concerned with their spiritual needs, which is why he was teaching and preaching the good news of the kingdom. The good news of the kingdom is that even though they were under the law, even though they had disobeyed a holy God, that through their belief and faith and trust in Him as their Messiah, they could be restored into a relationship with God that would last for eternity. Jesus was focused on meeting people's physical needs and His spiritual needs. Here at CBC, as we look to reach out, we too need to reflect the heart and the values of Jesus to focus on both people's physical needs and their spiritual needs. I think sometimes we can be better at ministering to people on a physical level. If somebody is without clothes, or if somebody is homeless, or they have those kind of needs, they're obvious. And we tend to rally around those opportunities to meet people on physical needs, which is important, which is what we have to do. But at the same time, you and I need to recognize that people have spiritual needs. This past week, an individual who's been coming here since probably November, contacted me and said, "Pastor Jeff, can I meet with you?" As he walked into my office, it was clear that he did not have physical needs. He was a strong young man who did not need to go to a hospital, did not need a splint, did not have a broken arm. Physically, he was fine. But shortly into the conversation, he said, "Jeff," he said, "you remember that video that you showed a couple weeks ago? I think it was around Christmas, and there was a man in a pit." I said, "Yeah." He said, "That's me." And he began to describe all the things that was going on in his heart and mind. I said, "Do you remember the message of that video?" And he said, "Yeah." He said, "Jesus came into the pit to rescue the man." I said, "That's right. Jesus, through His death and resurrection, has paved a way for you to be set free from your addictions. He has paved a way for you to be set free from the shame and the guilt that has been weighing on you. Spiritual needs that you would never know. You and I have people all around us who physically appear to be fine, but have spiritual needs that need to be addressed through the gospel, through Christ. And God wants to use each of us to be His witnesses to minister to people, not just on a physical level, but a spiritual level. We have various ministries that reach out into the community. One of them is Clothing Because We Care. I think we have a slide of some ladies that help out with that. You may not be aware of that not only do they meet women and children's physical needs, but they pray before they open the doors on that Saturday morning. They pray for the people who will be coming then. And as people come in, they look to be able to build relationships and connect. And numerous times they've been able to engage people in conversations that have ended up with them stepping into a side room to pray. They have had opportunities to give out Bibles, Christian literature. They have opportunities to invite people to the youth ministry and the children's ministry here at CBC. Clothing Because We Care is focused on meeting people's physical needs of this community, absolutely. But they're also concerned about meeting people on a spiritual level as well, pointing them to Christ. Many of you are familiar with some of the trips that we've taken up to Breezy Point, New York, to help with the relief effort from Hurricane Sandy. I called Tom last night, and guess where he was? He was on his way home from New York City. And I said, "Tom," I said, "I know your heart is not just about cleaning up and getting people back in those houses." I said, "I know you're concerned for people's spiritual needs in that community as well." I said, "How does that flesh out?" He said, "Well, just this afternoon, Jeff," he said, "I've had an opportunity to connect with the family because of my multiple trips up there." And he said, "We have a bond and connection because they lost their 5-year-old in an automobile accident quite a few years ago." And he said, "With the loss of my brother, we have a connection." He said, "This afternoon," he said, "we talked, we cried, and," he said, "I got to share my testimony with them." He said, "Not only have we been able to have kind of conversations like that, but we've been able to pray with people. We've handed out care packages over Christmas that had Bibles in, that had Jesus videos." And so I love the heart that flows from Tom, because it's a heart that's concerned about meeting people right where they're at and the physical needs that they're dealing with. But yet Tom's also able to look beyond those physical needs and help people to understand they have spiritual needs as well that can be met through Christ and the gospel. So this morning, we want you to see that reaching out to a community Bible church is about reaching out locally and globally, and being His witnesses where He's placed us, and to have that ripple effect go to the ends of the earth. And reaching out is also about meeting people's physical needs and spiritual needs. For the past year or so, we have been interacting as elders in terms of how we can continue to hold up this value of reaching out in a greater way. That there's so much more that can be accomplished in and through this church body, both locally and globally. And as we've been wrestling with how do we need to proceed in the future with reaching out, we have developed a job description that has been finished about 10 days ago that we're going to present tomorrow night at our annual meeting, and it's for a pastor of outreach. This person is to help mobilize the body here at CBC. This person's job is not to do outreach, but this person is to mobilize, equip the various individuals and departments in reaching out locally and globally. So if you want to find out more about this position, pick up a handout like this at the Welcome Center. It's titled, Why Hire a Pastor of Outreach? And then it has the job description. Come tomorrow night, 7 o'clock, annual meeting. We're going to be walking through the job description, walking through this handout, and again, helping you to understand the value and priority we have here at CBC, not just with loving God, loving others, but reaching out. Todd and I are a tag team approach this morning to helping you understand what reaching out looks like here at CBC. And so he's going to come out and walk through the last two elements of reaching out.
Thank you, Jeff. Key truth number three is this. Reaching out is personal. It's easy for us to often get excited about what other people are doing in ministry. We see what they're doing, and oftentimes we're asked to join teams of people or different programming elements and programs here at our church. And that's a great thing. But I want to remind you of something. The motivation, the heart, the reason for any of us to even consider reaching out is because Jesus Christ first loved us. We have to understand that Jesus Christ calls us. And He wants each of us to live out a purpose and plan that He has for our lives. I want to show you the calling of four of the original 12 disciples that Jesus had. And it's found in Matthew chapter 4. Matthew chapter 4, verse 18. Let's look and see how personal Jesus gets when He calls us to follow Him. In verse 18, as Jesus was walking beside the Sea of Galilee, He saw two brothers, Simon called Peter and his brother Andrew. They were casting a net into the lake, for they were fishermen. Come follow me, Jesus said, and I will make you fishers of men. At once they left their nets and followed Him. Going on from there, He saw two other brothers, James, son of Zebedee, and his brother John. They were in a boat with their father Zebedee preparing their nets. Jesus called them, and immediately they left the boat and their father and followed Him. It would have been something to think about Jesus personally standing before these men, looking them in the eye, and saying, "Come follow me." I think a lot of us today who have decided to follow Jesus look at our lives sometimes when the going gets rough and times get tough. We are tempted to think, did Jesus really call me? Did I imagine that? Some of us have friends and family who tell us that kind of thing. Oh, I don't know what you're talking about. You're making that up. It's in your head. Jesus didn't call you. Jesus' call in our life is just as real as it was for those four disciples. When Jesus says, come follow me, there's more to it then just follow me. In verse 19, the end of what Jesus said was this, and I will make you fishers of men. That's the same call that we have today. That's why we're talking about outreach this morning. Because Jesus doesn't just say, come to me. He says, come to me, and then I will make you fishers of men. That I will give you the ability to reach out and tell others about me. Now, when we sit here this morning, a good many of us, including yours truly, hears this and says, in my mind, in my head, I'm not like those original disciples. Who am I? I'm not worthy. I'm not special. I'm not highly gifted. I'm not even that spiritual sometimes. Anyone out there feeling a little bit like that once in a while? Two people? Come on now. Who's felt like that? Right? The amazing thing is, one of the next disciples he called was Levi. And we find that when he called Levi, he was a tax collector. And right after he called Levi to follow him, Jesus ends up at a party. Levi throws a big party, and the religious leaders of the day see the party, and they start making accusations to Jesus that went with him the whole rest of his life. And it went like this. What are you doing, Jesus, hanging out with sinners like that? Jesus said, I didn't come for the righteous or the self-important people who think they're spiritual. I came for those who know they are needy and sick. I came for sinners. Praise God, people like us. God reached into our world, saved us of our sins, and said, now I can work in and through you. Let's look at key truth number four. We must realize it's personal, but key truth number four, reaching out is a shared activity. When Jesus calls us to follow him and make fishers of men, so to speak, that means we have to interact with other people. I want to show you Matthew chapter 5, verse 14. Matthew chapter 5, verse 14 says this. You are the light of the world. A city on a hill cannot be hidden. Neither do people light a lamp and put it under a bowl. Instead, they put it on a stand, and it gives light to everyone in the house. In the same way, catch this, in the same way, let your light shine before men that they may see your good deeds and praise your Father in heaven. Jesus spoke these words to his disciples, saying, you are to be like light. Not that you are light, because Jesus himself is the light. Once we accept him as Lord and Savior, then he says, my light can shine through you. Take that light, go out into your community, and let it shine. It's always a shared activity when we're talking about reaching out, because the goal is to shine Christ's light into the life of others around us. In John 13, we find these words of Jesus spoken to his disciples in the upper room just before his death. He says to them, a new command I give you. Because he already understood that they knew the Old Testament law. They knew the Ten Commandments. And he says, a new commandment I'm going to give you. Love one another as I have loved you, so you must love one another. You see, it's this idea that what is it that light looks like? It looks a lot like love, because it is love. Love one another. Now look at verse 35. By this, all men will know that you are my disciples if you love one another. Last week, Pastor Jim talked on loving one another. He talked about how messy it can be, how difficult it is. We're being honest with that. We're not saying it's easy. But when Jesus calls us to love one another, he has a purpose in that. He says to his disciples, which transfers to us today, if you guys can learn how to love one another, then the world will see that and understand my love. The most powerful form of evangelism is when Christian brothers and sisters can love one another, other people spot that, see it, and go, wow, there's something very special there. Those people can't do that on their own. There's something else to it. And then we can say, yeah, there's a lot more to it. It's Jesus Christ. Pastor Jeff mentioned that over the last months and years, actually, we as pastors and elders have the privilege of being together and talking about this sort of thing. We ask ourselves these questions. How would it look for CBC to be better at loving God, loving others, and reaching out? And one night, a very special conversation happened. One of our elders, after studying and looking at this verse on light and thinking and talking about loving one another, he said, guys, I consider myself just not real bright sometimes. I have a hard time catching on to some of the truths of Scripture. But he said, when I think about this, I think about it like CBC Church being the place where people can come to see the light of Jesus Christ. When we're gathered together Sunday mornings or Wednesday nights, that's like coming together and we all get encouraged, and that builds up that light that each one of us can carry back out. Here's what it looked like in my mind. The next slide. There's CBC Church. I kind of agreed with them. You know, that is what we're doing here on Sunday mornings, Wednesday nights, in our small groups, in our different gatherings. We want to be committed 100% to sharing Jesus Christ and that He's the light of the world. Then the elder took it a step further. He said, I feel like when I come to church, that I come and I get encouraged, I learn more about God, I learn what I should be doing in my life, and it's like a recharge, he said. My light gets a little brighter. And then I go back out, into my neighborhood, into the workplace, and I'm shining a little brighter. So it would look like this. You know, if a few more of us were out there in our community doing that. That night, it felt to me like a lot of us had almost like this, just this little reverent moment of going, what if we as a church can continue to understand how to help everyone keep their light burning bright? What if we can continue as a church to let brothers and sisters in Christ live together in a way that those lights shine together and then John 13 can be lived out better? Because I thought to myself, you know, as Christians, we're really good at being together in the church and loving one another. But how do others see it? Unless they come here Sunday morning to see our friendship with one another, how do they see it? I think God's stirring within my heart and Pastor Jeff's heart, other elders, this heart to say, how can we take that good thing that we have here at CBC and live it out a little better in front of everyone else? A friend of mine helped me create the next map. I'm not really that great at geography, but I need you to understand this map with me. When we look at this map, it's the local area here in Lancaster County and York County on this side. Right here, there's a little symbol. That's actually a little push pin, but it's so small that it's hard to tell what it is. That push pin is located exactly where this church sits. So try to picture now where you live when you look at this map. If this is the church, up here is Harrisburg area, and this is the river coming right down through here, Susquehanna River. So on this side over here, we have Mount Joy. We have Hempfield area in here, right? We have, we move on down in the Columbia area down here. On this side is York. I don't know what this is called up there. I don't know. Some of you live there. Is it really a place? That's what I'm wondering. It's somewhere on the other side of the river, right? I guess down in here somewhere is like Red Lion. Are you getting a hold of this, what this map is, even though you can't read all of it? Now I want to show you something very special. The next slide I'm going to show you, for me personally, is my favorite picture of CBC Church. I think it's the best picture of CBC Church to this date that I've ever seen. Let's take a look at the next picture. All these little blotches are actually push pins. They're not put there randomly. A friend of mine spent hours working on this map. Every family that considers this their church home, you have a push pin somewhere on this map. Now, some of us, I'm over here in Mount Joy area, and it gets pretty tight, so I'm not sure I could pick out which exact one I am. But when you get into some of these outlying areas, some of you may go, "That's me!" Like, people that saw this map before said, "Who is this down here?" Honestly, this was moving to me and some others to say, you know, there's people coming from a ways to get to CBC Church. Jesus said, "You are the light of the world." Can we even imagine the impact we can have on this whole area? If our lights are shining bright out there where we live, what if we could even get better at helping people find one another out in wherever they live and learn how to take the friendship that many of us get here while we're in the building together and live it out in our communities? And what could that look like? That's the type of thing that we continue to ask ourselves, and we feel led by the Lord to ask that question: how can we get better at carrying that light of Jesus Christ outward from this place? We don't have all the answers, of course, and it's a good thing because we can trust God to lead us through this. But Jeff mentioned a lot of things that we're already doing to reach out. There's something else I want to tell you about that we're doing after seeing this map that kind of is putting us in a place to be passionate about answering that question: how can we be better lights in our community? We told some of you about this a while ago. It's a term we're using called community impact groups. We are working and praying and thinking about what could groups of people look like who live better as friends and caring for one another in their community. What could that look like? So this past fall, I invited numbers of people to come and start having that conversation with me and some other church leaders. Guys that have been part of that since the fall, now I'm going to invite you to come up on stage here and line up behind me. I'd like you all to look at your bulletin notes. On the back of your bulletin notes, you will see a name of about 20 plus people. Some of them will be joining me on stage. Not all of them could be up here in this service with me. But these are people that said in the fall, "I will make a commitment to, on a Sunday morning, being together and talking about that question: how can we be better lights in our community?" And as we got together and started that discussion, I can honestly tell you that everyone standing here, plus the names that you have on your note sheet, these folks feel personally that God's calling them to get better at being a light in their community. And so we've been together each week through the fall. The church as a whole has made a commitment over the next 2 years to do some piloting of different groups and to try and see what we can learn and what we can do to be better and better at reaching out in our community. We've discovered a lot of things. Two big things we've discovered is that it seems like God tends to give people a passion in one of two ways. Some of us, He's leading our hearts to have a passion for our neighborhood, our direct group of people living around us. That's something that's been on my heart for a while. How can I be a better neighbor? How can I be that light that Christ wants me to be in my neighborhood? It's kind of a location or we call it sometimes a proximity. We have a heart for those who are living close to us. We also find that some people don't necessarily feel a calling to their neighborhood, but they're sensing a call to a certain people group or a certain type of passion of people who have needs out in our communities. I want to introduce you to a couple people just to help you understand that a little bit. Dave and Candy, come on up. Dave and Candy, you joined us in the fall. And tell us, why did you show up there to start this conversation with us? This isn't pre-planned. This is just so.
I guess I remember when Pastor Jeff was preaching about the incarnational living, and you guys did that series, and David and I just felt the Spirit really working in our hearts and giving us an excitement about that. We were excited to think, you know, that we wanted to join God where He's working, and be a part of that and be able to open our home and allow it to be a safe place and also a place of growing spiritually and in our community.
I need to tell all of you, too, that this isn't like this scheduled program. You know, I didn't bring everyone together and say, okay, guys, here's what you're going to do. We're starting the conversation saying, what's God putting on your heart? Because remember, it's a personal call. So since that time, tell us where you're at in the process. What's happening?
I think as far as the community groups go, we've been involved in a community group before, like a small group. So we kind of have an idea of what it was like. I'd never heard it at prior. And so it was a really enriching time. It was a really spiritual revival, if you will. And like I said earlier, we got connected with people that we didn't even know. And we didn't know anybody except for the people that were, we're here. So, but it was probably one of the best times of our lives. So with that experience, and then with community coming this way, it's like we kind of jumped at the chance. So, but definitely, it's an exciting thing.
So you guys have a heart for your neighborhood,
neighborhood.
You're praying about what God will do, and you're already starting to see a couple pieces come together. And I know we don't have time to lay all that out this morning, but
absolutely,
that's neat. Thank you. Give those guys a hand, okay? Benji and Lindell. Now remember I said some people have a passion for their neighborhood, and other people have a passion for something very distinct. So, Lindell, tell us what type of a passion or area you feel God's calling you into as a couple.
Years and years and years ago, we felt called to adopt. And at the time, we had a couple friends who guided us through, but there weren't too many that had adopted at that time. Now that we've adopted 6 children, we felt the need to connect and support and pray for other people that are adopting, fostering, thinking about it, or just wanting to support orphans. So that's really how it got started, is a more formal group to support each other.
So that passion's been alive and well for quite a while. Tell us what's happened over the last 6 months with this whole passion. Because now it's turning into something.
Now it is turning into something. We started meeting with a team of other individuals in the church who have also adopted, or fostered, or both. And we began looking on ways that God wanted us to be used at church and in the community for those families that are also going through it. So after a couple months of meeting, then we began, we had a meet and greet session for other adoptive families in November. This next couple weeks, we're going to Christ Home in Paradise to minister to the children in foster care there and the families who are also taking care of those children.
Awesome. Thank you so much. I want you to know that this is not a hand-selected group of people. In fact, I'm hoping that after this morning that many of you will want to come to me and say, I didn't know what was going on in that area. I've felt God wanting me to understand what it means to be a stronger light in my community. I want to encourage anyone, please get in touch with me. We'd love to add people to this team and help you understand what God's calling you to and how we can be a support and encouragement to you. So where have we been this morning? Outreach is what? Key truth, it's local and global. Both are just as important as the other. Key truth number two, reaching out is meeting people's physical and spiritual needs. You have to do both. Key truth number three, reaching out is personal. It starts with that personal relationship with Christ and knowing that He's called you to reach out. And key truth number four, reaching out is a shared activity because we have to be involved in each other's lives to live out that mission of being fishers of men and being lights in our community. I'm going to invite you to stand right now, and we're going to close the service with a worship song.